Hello, I'm Matthew, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 10th of June, 2026.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Matthew, Angela, Peter, Muhammad, Helen, Mina, Simon, and Soundings contributor Tina. In this week's edition, we find out what's been happening at Beacon with the latest update from Helen and Muhammad. There's all the latest news from across the Black Country, including news of a historic gem in the heart of Wolverhampton, dating back to the 12th century. With the Football World Cup providing Wolves fans a welcome distraction from the domestic game, we share some positive news of Wolves being revealed as top dogs of a recent study and Premier League ranking table. There's a numerical challenge and a simple puzzle using mental arithmetic to keep your brain active. Is this spell of sunshine and showers set to stay for much longer? We hear from Mina, who has the forecast for the week ahead. And with thanks to TNF Soundings, we hear from the blind baker, Penny Melville Brown, OBE, who presents another bake-along session in an entertaining and encouraging manner to bring the joy of home baking to listeners regardless of their level sight loss. Local news to start, though, with me, Matthew, Angela, and Peter.
A Sedgley Health Centre, which faced possible closures, looks set to also become home to a housing hub and police offices. The Ladies Walk Centre was caught up in a furious row between Dudley politicians after fears were raised that negotiations to renew its lease had been left too late. Instead of renewing the lease on the building, Dudley Council was in negotiations to buy the centre. A deal was eventually struck with owners Aviva, and the authority paid £1.85 million rather than renewing the lease at a cost the authority said would have been £380,000 per year for 25 years. Dudley Council leader Councillor Patrick Harley said the plan all along was to purchase the Ladies Walk Centre. It's clearly an investment that will save the council a fortune over the years and will pay for itself within less than 5 years. Now, instead of the council paying rent, we will receive rent from others such as the NHS. Only a fool would argue this isn't a good deal. The Local Democracy Reporting Service has learned the council plans to open a housing hub at the centre alongside retaining existing facilities. Dudley Conservative local election candidate for Sedgley, Bill Etheridge, said, "This is a great victory for the taxpayers of Dudley. It doesn't take a genius to work out the taxpayer has been saved over £7 million. That doesn't include extra uses, the NHS paying rent, council offices being moved here, businesses being allowed to rent extra space here. Hopefully, if I'm elected, I will be campaigning for a police hub here." The future of the centre was in doubt when it emerged in early 2025. The lease was due to expire in March 2026. Speaking in April 2025, Sedgley Councillor Sean Kesey said it was ridiculous the centre could be at risk of closure after just 25 years. While Dudley MP Sonia Kumar was concerned NHS services would be lost in Sedgley and said relocation was not a viable option.
And an application from a pharmacy in Sedgley to buy a green space for possible development has been refused. Dudley Council's Director of Development and Regeneration, Michael Brereton, refused a request to declare Coronation Garden surplus and available for disposal. The application was made by the owner of Ridgeway Pharmacy, which is currently located within Ridgeway GP Surgery next to Coronation Gardens. The request was strongly opposed by Sedgley Councillor Damien Caulfield, who said, "This local asset is well used by the community and has a significant historical value. Residents regularly use it for walking their dogs and spending time in contemplation at the memorial garden that was installed there last year in memory of Her Majesty the Queen and the planting of a royal oak to celebrate the coronation of His Majesty the King. Young people also use it throughout the year for recreational purposes." Ridgeway Pharmacy's owners, who acquired the business from Lloyd's Pharmacy, said their lease at the surgery places financial constraints on them, and they are considering relocation or closure. The business owners said they could not find a suitable site for relocation in the area, which is close enough to be accessible by vulnerable patients. While the request to buy the land from the council does not specify any future use, in response to a question from Councillor Sean Kesey, council officers said, "We do believe that the applicant does wish to develop on the space for a pharmacy, but the required consultation is only being carried out to determine whether the land is surplus to the council's requirements. The park is situated on land that was formerly the front garden of the Limes, a house built by nail maker Eliza Tinsley in 1851. It was also used to grow vegetables during the war and has been the site of a village morgue and fire station." Councillor Caulfield added, "My suggestion to them would be to wait until the council acquires the Ladies Walk building. This could offer a more convenient and easily accessible area for a pharmacy that would complement other health facilities delivered from that building currently."
Up next, we hear from Helen, who of course has for us the Beacon update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon and I'm here with a roundup of everything that has been happening at the charity, and well, there is plenty to be getting on with, so let's crack on. Now, first of all, you may have noticed that we have been celebrating Volunteers Week, and we would like to say another huge thank you to every single one of our amazing volunteers. Whether you support our members in the Lifestyle Centre, help out in our shops, lend a hand at events, or even give your time as a befriender, your kindness and commitment makes such a difference every single day. And while Volunteers Week may be over, our appreciation certainly isn't, and we'll continue celebrating the incredible contribution our volunteers make throughout the year. That's people like Barbara, who recently received our dedication award. Barbara joined Beacon in 2021 as a volunteer in our Lifestyle Centre before also becoming a telephone befriender, making a real difference in two different roles across the charity. Isn't that fantastic? Staff describe Barbara as someone who's reliable, patient and incredibly supportive, creating a welcoming atmosphere for members every week. Her visits are often the highlight of the day for many of our members, and we're incredibly lucky to have her as part of the Beacon team. Our congratulations also go to Alison Innes, who received our new Volunteer of the Year award. Alison volunteers at our Pattingham boutique and has made a huge impact since joining, helping to keep the shop open, supporting customers, and even creating Beacon's entry for the Pattingham Scarecrow Festival. Her enthusiasm, creativity and dedication has made a real difference, and we're delighted to see her recognised. Now, for the past decade, we'd also like to support Gary Jones because, yeah, for a whole 10 years, he has been supporting with our weekly pottery sessions in our Lifestyle Centre, and he received our Outstanding Contribution Awards for his effort. He helps members with sight loss to enjoy a therapeutic and creative activity in a relaxed and welcoming environment. He's known for his patience, kindness and encouragement, and his friendly conversations and support mean a great deal to both members and staff alike. Congratulations, Gary, and thank you for everything you've done over the past 10 years. We also want to give a special mention to Stephen, who first joined Beacon as a volunteer just over 3 years ago, reading books to members in our lifestyle centre. Since then, he's taken on not one, but two additional volunteering roles and continues to give his time and energy to support Beacon in so many ways. Thank you, Stephen, for everything you do. Now, looking ahead, if you enjoy live music, we've got a couple of fantastic afternoons coming up at our lifestyle centre. If you're listening to this in time, on Thursday, the 11th of June at 1:30, we'll be welcoming the Barley Beats, the resident band from the Barley Mow Pub, for an afternoon of live music. Everyone's welcome to come along and enjoy some great songs, good company, and lively atmosphere. And we'd like to thank the band for generously giving up their time to perform for our members and visitors. Later in the month, on Friday, the 26th of June at 1:00, acoustic singer-songwriter James Davidson will be joining us for another afternoon of live entertainment. James performs a mixture of original songs and well-known classics, promising something for everyone to enjoy. A big thank you to James as well for supporting Beacon and giving his time to perform. Now, finally, some exciting news. We're very excited to tell you about Beacon's refashion show taking place on Thursday, July the 9th. Join us for a fun and stylish evening celebrating sustainable fashion and the amazing bargains that can be found in our charity shops. Doors open at 6:30 with a fashion show beginning at 7:00. Our very own volunteer models alongside guest models will be taken to the catwalk to showcase a fantastic range of pre-loved outfits. And if you see something you like, many of our featured items will be available to buy on the night. There'll also be the chance to browse clothing from across our charity shops, enjoy a complimentary drink on arrival, and soak up what promises to be a brilliant evening, all whilst raising money to support the charity. Tickets are just £5, and if you've ever fancied modelling in a show yourself, well, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us via 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks a lot for that update, Helen. Up next, we have another block of local news.
Residents who live and work in Dudleyborough will be invited to have their say on a new local plan, which is being developed following national changes in planning legislation. The Dudleyborough Local Plan will be a strategy for future development, with the aim of ensuring enough homes are built and with a vision of supporting a thriving economy. Dudley Council's Cabinet is expected to agree development of the plan, which will be in place until 2045. The proposals will include three public consultations, with the first one expected this summer. Cabinet will also be asked to formally adopt the Dudley Local Plan, which had been previously consulted on, examined, and is now considered sound by the Planning Inspectorate. It does not release Greenbelt for development and focuses on brownfield-led regeneration. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader for the Dudley Council, said, "The adoption of the Dudley Local Plan provides a regeneration framework, encouraging brownfield redevelopment and investment in the borough. Well, since the local plan was created, there have been national changes in planning legislation, and we are one of a number of local authorities who need to revisit our local plan. And that first consultation on the new local plan will be over the summer. And people will be able to find out more from our website over the coming months. The Dudley Local Plan will be superseded when the new Dudley Borough Local Plan is finalised in 2029.
And across the region to Wolverhampton now. where residents can also have their say about local issues and learn about activities taking place in their community at a series of drop-in sessions held across the city. The Love Your Community sessions are held in each ward on a regular basis and gives residents the chance to meet with representatives from Wolverhampton Police, the City of Wolverhampton Council, Wolverhampton's Antisocial Behaviour Team, and more, and to share information about issues and activities in their neighbourhoods. The dates of the next few sessions have now been confirmed, with the next proposed Love Your Community event taking place at East Park at the Parish Church of St. Matthew on Wednesday, the 10th of June at 6 p.m, Springvale at Springvale Library on Friday, the 12th of June at 11 a.m, Wensfield South at Bentley Bridge Retail Park on Thursday, the 18th of June at 4 p.m, and Ettings Hall North at Ettings Hall Memorial on Tuesday, the 23rd of June at 5:30 p.m. Entry is free and all are welcome. For more details, visit Eventbrite or email safer@wolverhampton.gov.uk. Dates for further Love Your Community meetings covering other wards in Wolverhampton will be announced in due course. Councillor Obeida Ahmed, Cabinet Member for Health, Wellbeing and Community, said, "These Love Your Community sessions are an important forum for residents to meet with organisations and discuss the priorities for their neighbourhoods, and how we can all work together to deliver on these. Please come along to find out what's happening in your area. Tell us what's important for your neighbourhood. Help improve your local spaces, connect with your neighbours and businesses, and speak with police, councillors, and community services." And in another new initiative, the City of Wolverhampton Council is collaborating with national charity Park Yoga to provide free weekly yoga sessions at East Park with the support of Active Black Country. Sessions take place every Sunday until the 13th of September, between 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. They are open to all ages and abilities, and there's no need to book in advance. All people need to do is bring a yoga mat if they have one, or, failing that, a towel. Councillor Obeida Ahmed, Cabinet Member for Health, Wellbeing and Community, said, "Yoga is great for enhancing your mood, reducing stress levels and improving your muscle strength and flexibility. We hope these sessions will encourage people to take the time to look after their own well-being through being active and enjoying the benefits of being outdoors, and I'd encourage everyone to join in the fun." Park Yoga instructor Deb Sahota said, "Sessions are beginner friendly and our participants don't have to do all the movements. Quite often we'll have yogis who lie or sit in nature for the hour. Whatever your ability, we'd love to have as many people as possible from your community group to join us. For more information, please visit Park Yoga at www.parkyoga.co. Time now for a numerical challenge and a simple puzzle using mental arithmetic to keep your brain active. Follow the clues and do the maths to get your answer in this edition of TNF Soundings Numerical Audio Puzzle from Tina.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, it's Tina here. I have a number puzzle for you. Each of the five clues is the starting point for the next clue. We begin with a number of musicians in a quartet. Square that number. Add the number of cards in one suit of playing cards. Add now the number of days in August. And divide by the minutes in half an hour. If you reach the end of the puzzle with an answer, well done. If you want to hear those clues again, then go back to the start. Or maybe just press pause for a bit more thinking time.
TNS Soundings.
Cheers for those questions. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now, however, is another block of local news.
The University of Wolverhampton is looking to compile an online dictionary devoted to the Black Country dialect. From Awawiya to Tararabit, the area is known for its distinctive dialect, and the researchers at the university want to ensure words spoken in the area are not lost to history. So the university brought together local residents, language enthusiasts, at a workshop in Dudley on Tuesday, to explore how the region's language could be preserved for future generations. Linguistics lecturer Esther Asprey, who led the session, said, "Some of the words have gone, and people aren't hearing them anymore. Some of these words are getting lost." She added, "That would indicate this dialogue is under pressure from the standard." Asprey hopes the internet can be used as a levelling tool with anyone able to access the online dictionary and send in nominations for words. Well, at the session, the attendees shared terms they would like to be in the dictionary, such as lungeous, meaning rough in play, gain, meaning convenient, aqueduct, meaning aqueduct, fizzog, meaning face, babaola, meaning moth. Discussions highlighted a growing concern that elements of Black Country speech were at risk of being lost, with people emphasising the importance of dialect as a core part of their regional identity. Keith Hodgkins from Tipton joked about the use of the word bab, which many people now associate with the region. "I get very frustrated about the use of the word bab, because bab is a Brummy expression, which has gradually come into the Black Country over the past 10 or 12 years, and now absolutely everybody is saying bab," he said. Maddie Wheeler, a nurse from Tipton, shared how her accent had shaped her own life. She went to a primary school in Coseley and struggled to be understood by her peers when she first attended school. "In the end, someone brave enough came up to me and asked if I was from Scotland. Ha! I went, 'No, Bab, I'm not,' she said. There were a lot of people who didn't understand me, but they did say it sounded like I was singing, so I thought that was a winner."
As well as the local dialect, the Black Country is known for many other great and wonderful things, such as the Black Country Living Museum, Walsall Arboretum, and the Stourbridge Glass Museum. But it's also known for something that frustrates us all: inconsiderate parking. Double parking, parking over driveways, non-blue badge holders using disabled bays, we have it all. But that begs the question, which area has it worse? To answer the question, we turn to our Facebook friends, asking them what roads in our lovely region are the worst for inconsiderate parkers. In only a day of posting, we were flooded with more than 70 responses, with many of them pointing at the same two streets, Owen Road, Wolverhampton, and Cheshire Road in Smethwick. So we paid a visit to both streets to see if it truly is the inconsiderate parking hotspots of the Black Country. Owen Road, Wolverhampton, was a sight to behold, but not in a good way. Entering the street alone was an ordeal. You had to give way to oncoming traffic as double parkers had turned a two-way street into a one-way, and you had to keep forever focused on the pavement for any hidden children darting into the road. However, the worst was yet to come. Cars parking on double yellow lines, forcing you to squeeze between tight spaces just to continue your journey. Not only that, but also blocking visibility to the pavement, meaning that any person crossing the road is in constant danger. As we walked down the street, it seemed like some drivers hadn't even attempted to park appropriately. Instead, at times, they seemed to just ditch their vehicles where they saw fit. But don't take our word for it, as Facebook users and residents of the area had stronger opinions than our own. One Facebook user, Claire Dolman, said, "Every road off Lee Road and Owen Road. The traffic wardens can make enough to retire off Dalton Street alone." Cheshire Road. Cheshire Road in Smethwick, on the other hand, was a completely different animal altogether. When residents complained about cars just stopping anywhere before being left vacant, they weren't lying. As we walked down the road, one driver had seemingly just smashed their car into a curb before leaving it, blocking off the entirety of the pavement. This obviously meant those walking would have to go onto the road to get around the vehicle. Only meters down the road was another poorly parked car, however, this time it had completely blocked off a turning to a junction. Fear not though, as this driver had been given a ticket, and rightfully so. Speaking to residents in the area, one said that the road is a death trap. Tanya Skidmore, aged 43, said, "People just ditch the cars. It's an absolute death trap down here. It makes you regret moving here, to be honest. You're just waiting for an accident to happen." Another local, Imran Singh, aged 51, said, "That even the threat of getting a ticket doesn't scare some people off." He said, "Some cars park across the road. It's actually unbelievable. They aren't even worried about getting a ticket, but then they have the nerve to complain and throw their arms around. Well, don't park like an idiot then. If you didn't see it, you'd think we were exaggerating. But yeah, it's horrendous. Definitely the worst around." Honestly, between Owen Road and Cheshire Road, we couldn't make up our mind on which one is worse. So we thought, why not both? So there you have it. According to residents and our loyal Facebook readers, both Cheshire Road and Owen Road are the worst streets for parking in the Black Country. And reflecting off the words of Mr. Singh, we would like to say, don't park like an idiot.
Now then, you may not find these cars parked inconsiderately on the pavements of Owen Road and Cheshire Road, not just yet, but Ferrari's first electric car has divided opinion following its public launch last month. And what many people will be surprised to learn is that its designer is a former Stafford schoolboy. The £474,320 Ferrari Luce has been met with some fierce criticism since its launch in Rome on the 25th of May, although some have praised the brave design for moving away from the company's past. But while the company has traditionally been associated with famous Italian design houses such as Pininfarina and Bertone, the Luce has been designed by former Walton High School pupil Sir Jonathan Joni Ive and his business partner Mark Newson. Sir Jonathan, who attended the school in the early 1980s, found fame as the chief designer at US technology giant Apple, where he designed the handset of the iPhone, followed by the iPod and Apple Watch, before setting up the Love From Group in partnership with fellow designer Newson. In a 2010 interview with the Express and Star, Mr. Ive's former technology teacher, Dave Whiting, recalled how some of his work defied belief. "He didn't learn from me. I was learning from him," said Mr. Whiting. "Some of the stuff he used to produce, you couldn't believe he'd done it himself." Some have praised the Luce as a masterclass in design, while others brutally dismissed it as looking like a reskinned Prius. The Ferrari Luce, its name is Italian for light, was unveiled on Monday by company boss Benedetto Vigna, who called it a major milestone after 5 years in development. It is the company's first five-seater, but the design has not gone down well with traditionalists used to the company's classic low-slung performance cars, with a number of critics likening it to a Toyota design favoured by taxi drivers. The Luce looks like reskinned Prius with a mid-90s wheel package, said one post on social media. Another said, I thought it was someone's joke when I first saw the pictures. Ferrari chief design officer Flavio Manzoni admitted the design was polarising, but innovation often attracted criticism. He said the brand would continue producing petrol and hybrid cars alongside the new electric model.
Up next, let's have another Beacon update.
If you're struggling with reading and need a magnifier, have you ever considered a video magnifier, or sometimes known as a digital magnifier? Well, Beacon have a range of video magnifiers that you can come in and try. Now, a video magnifier, you can increase or decrease the magnification so you can turn it up a bit, or you can turn it up quite a lot to help you read. You can change contrast settings on a video magnifier, so you can look at something in true colour, or you could change the contrast to black on white, or white on black, or yellow on black, or black on yellow. It's whatever works best for you, so there's a range of combinations there that you can try to find the right one. You can also freeze images on a video magnifier. So let's say there's something in your fridge, a piece of some food. You could take a little picture because the angle's a bit difficult to read of it, and then bring the magnifier away and then zoom it up. So if it's something like the sell-by dates or ingredients on food, you can read it comfortably there. So video magnifiers range from small handheld magnifiers you can sit comfortably in an armchair to read with, up to medium-sized ones, which are about the size of laptops, and then there's desktop magnifiers with big, large 24-inch screens, which really make magnification strong. So, if you would like to try a video magnifier to see if that would help you, you're very welcome to. Just call Beacon's Sight Loss Advisors for an appointment. And remember, bring something you struggle to read with you. So if you'd like to try a video magnifier, give us a call on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor. 01902 880 111.
Next up, we have another block of local news.
Adults living with obesity in Wolverhampton can now self-refer to free weight management support. The Live Well Wolverhampton service is available for anyone aged 18 or over who lives in or is registered with a GP in Wolverhampton and has a body mass index, BMI, of 30 plus or 27.5 plus for those of Black African, African Caribbean and Asian origin. Obesity is a risk factor for a range of conditions, including cardiovascular disease and cancer, the leading causes of premature mortality in Wolverhampton. Live Well Wolverhampton provides free information and support to help people make positive lifestyle changes and lose weight. Individuals can access face-to-face group weight management sessions over a period of 12 weeks, delivered by Slimming World or Grow Health, while a tailored digital program is available via an app delivered by Grow Health. the service does not include weight loss injections. People can be referred to the weight management service by a healthcare professional, or they can now choose to self-refer directly on the council website or by calling Live Well Wolverhampton on 07378 768 046. Councillor Abeda Ahmed, Wolverhampton's council's cabinet member for health, wellbeing and community, said, "In England, it is estimated that around a quarter of adults live with obesity, and in Wolverhampton, that number is even higher. This matters because obesity increases the risk of a range of conditions, including cardiovascular disease and cancer, which are major causes of premature mortality in Wolverhampton. It can also contribute to type 2 diabetes and stroke, affect quality of life and self-esteem, and contribute to mental health challenges such as depression. Maintaining a healthy weight therefore helps reduce these risks. Providing services such as weight management support underpins our ambition to support Wolverhampton's to live longer, healthier lives. And so, if you are living with obesity, please take advantage of the free support on offer through Live Well Wolverhampton."
And one such positive lifestyle change could well be a gentle walk to and or around Bilston's new £8 million outdoor market, which is set to open for business next month after the builders overcame delays lasting 2 years caused by difficult ground conditions. Wolverhampton Council said preparations were being made for traders to open for business in their new look home on July 2nd, with building contractor Spillamet Calf due to hand over the site later this month on June 25th. The final day of trading for the temporary outdoor market in High Street will be June 29th, and the long-awaited event space will be used for the first time on Saturday, July 11th, to hold a special celebration to officially mark the opening of the new market. Work to complete the stalls is nearing completion after months of delays that resulted in complaints by traders and shoppers. The new market boasts a new canopy to better protect traders from bad weather, easier access, upgraded toilets, enhanced stalls, a flexible event space, new signage, a taxi drop-off point, and improved public areas. Leader of Wolverhampton Council, Stephen Simpkins, said, "The opening will be a memorable milestone, not only for our historic market, but also for the town of Bilston. I'm proud this council has delivered what is the first class, improved and modern market that we promised traders, making it even better for them and their customers. We can now all enjoy the absolute best market in the West Midlands with more modern, more accessible and more vibrant spaces for traders and the local community." Fruit and vegetable trader Julie Emery of JD Produce said, "I have enjoyed our time on the High Street, but I am now very excited to move to our fabulous new market. The new market is looking great, and we're hearing lots of positive comments from the public who are keen to visit us when we return to our original outdoor site." The council's resident services boss, Councillor Kayser Azim, said, "The new market will offer customers an outstanding community shopping experience and provide our dedicated traders with the wonderful facilities they deserve. I'd like to thank the outdoor and indoor traders for their support and patience throughout the redevelopment works. They can now look forward to reaping the rewards." This is, of course, just the first phase of our multi-million pound investment in Bilston. There's lots more to come that will complement and enhance the new market. Black Country Route Public Realm Improvements, High Street Link Scheme, £20 million Pride in Place Programme, which we are working closely with local residents on to spend on projects around the town, and construction of a new health and wellbeing facility next to the leisure centre. Rob Lashford, Regional Director at Spillamet Calf, said, "It's fantastic to see works at Bilston Market nearing completion. The team have worked hard alongside City of Wolverhampton Council to create a space that has already supported the local community through social value activity and will make a real difference once it opens. Bilston Market opens on Monday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. each day. Following a tough winter trading period marked by rain, traders will be looking forward to the improved facilities. The council cut rents by 100% from December 22nd to February 14th because of delays to the improvement works, after previously cutting rent by a quarter for more than 10 months to help market traders impacted by the delays. The town's outdoor market stalls were relocated in October 2024 for what was slated to be a year of work to build a state-of-the-art replacement for the 200-year-old market. Now then, the prospect of Bilston Market's range of fine food stalls has probably released some hunger hormones, requesting some Boston fiddle. Thankfully, we've got the blind baker, Penny Melville Brown OBE, who can once again provide a bake-along session in an entertaining and encouraging manner to bring the joy of home baking to listeners regardless of their level sight loss. This time, Penny shares her top tips for the perfect roast chicken lunch.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Penny Melville Brown from Baking Blind and all sorts of other things. I'm going to give you some real recipes that I cook in my kitchen, and I have no sight at all, so if I can do it, you might be able to manage some of them. You can find my recipes on pennymelvillebrown.com. Here is a very simple basis for a roast lunch. I'm not going to get into all the stuffing and the vegetables, but let's just do a roast chicken with roast potatoes and roast parsnips. So the first thing I do is I've got a fresh chicken or a defrosted one, and you take all the wrapping off it. So you've got perhaps some elastic around its legs. Take all that off because you want your chicken to spread its legs so it can get lots of heat all the way down the thighs. And I then measure 60 grams of salt into a plastic box, a large plastic box. And mine, I use 4-liter ice cream boxes. And into that goes a liter of water, and into that goes your chicken. Pop the lid on. Put it in the fridge, leave it there overnight. And this is about brining a chicken. And what you're doing is helping to plump up all the cells in the chicken. And this came from Heston Blumenthal years ago, and I've used it all the time since then. If you go mad, you can put some herbs and stuff in there. But I don't bother, just the salt and the water. So that's in the fridge overnight. Now, on that same day, the day before I'm cooking, I'm going to prepare my potatoes for roast potatoes and my parsnips. Now, I confess, quite a lazy cook, and I certainly don't like washing up. So I'm going to use a deep foil dish that I can throw away once it's been used. I don't have to wash it up. And I'm also going to use either goose fat or duck fat, or you could use lard, but you're going to need to have it a bit liquid. We'll come to that in a minute. So potatoes, peeled, cut up to the right size, parboiled in their water, with a bit of salt, and when they're parboiled, so that's about 5 minutes at most, you lift them out, drain them, and you shuggle them in the pan. Now this, of course, is a very technical phrase, shuggling, because what you're trying to do is rough up the edges a little bit so they go crispy. In they go into my foil dish, and then I'm going to use my duck fat or my goose fat and I'm going to turn them over. Now, it's a bit hot at this stage because they've just boiled, but just let them cool a little and they'll melt the fat and it'll start coating them. And at the same time, I'm doing my parsnips, which I've already peeled, quartered, popped into the pan, boiling water, boiled for about 5 minutes or so, drained. Now, it depends how many you've eaten for lunch, but I would have, for a few people, you can put them in with the potatoes. And what I do with the parsnips, just like the potatoes, is turn them over in the fat. Because the whole point is that you are creating an oxygen-tight seal around the potato, around the parsnips, with the fat. So oxygen can't go in and oxidate the potato or the parsnip, which makes it start going to taste stale. That's not what we want at all. So turn all those vegetables over a couple of times. I often get a lid with my foil dish, pop the lid on, throw it in the fridge next to my chicken, walk away. That wasn't too much, was it? Not too much work at all. So next day, let's assume we're going to have lunch at about 1 o'clock. So by 9 o'clock, I'm in the kitchen and I'm going to fish out my box with the chicken, drain it. I will often have made some butter and salt and pepper and herbs and perhaps some lemon zest and some lemon juice, stuff that under the skin over the breast. Metal tin, chicken into tin, stuff it in the oven, and that's that done. But the important thing is I'm going to set that oven very low. I would set it at gas mark 1, about 70 to 100 degrees Celsius. So it's very cool. And that chicken is just going to sit there for 3 hours. Later on, I will get out my probe thermometer, and I've got a talking one, and I push it into the chicken at the thickest part. So I will be into the thigh and perhaps low down in the breast. And I'm being careful not to touch the bone because bone conducts heat. But I'm just going to check whether it's got to 70 degrees Celsius. That would be the minimum, I think, you want to have it. So if it's got to that stage, out it comes. I cover it with foil and a proper kitchen towel, you know, one of the fluffy ones that's fabric, and that will just keep it warm while I cook the potatoes. So I turn the oven up to gas mark 6, which is about 200 degrees Celsius. Let it get hot for a few minutes, then whack in my tray of potatoes and parsnips. I've given them another turnover before I put them in the oven, and I've taken off the lid. So they're going to take about 45 minutes. That's time to do the rest of the veg, make some gravy, warm the plates up, and then eventually my potatoes and parsnips are done. I might have turned them over halfway through. Out they come. And if I want to brown the chicken skin, I will uncover that, turn the oven up to maximum, pop it in 5 minutes until the chicken is done and until the skin is done. There you go. Roast chicken, roast potatoes, roast parsnips. Dead easy.
TNS Soundings.
Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here with your forecast for the week ahead. And it's looking like we've got some drier weather ahead, with more sunshine and fewer showers expected. UV levels shall reflect this and shall rain from medium to high as the spells of sunshine becomes more pronounced, with sunrise and sunset times as follows: 4:45 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:35 p.m. for the sunset. As for the weather, Friday 12th of June is set to continue to be unsettled, with plenty of rain showers setting in across the region in the morning. With a moderate westerly breeze drifting in, these should begin to ease as we move into the afternoon with sunny spells breaking through. Temperatures shall reflect this, with highs of 20 degrees. Moving into the weekend and Saturday's looking glorious, with warmer air continuing to push in from the west. Unbroken sunshine shall keep temperatures up at a very pleasant high of 21 degrees, right through across the region. The outlook for Sunday is a little more unsettled, with a risk of light rain showers throughout the morning. Temperatures shall continue to improve, with highs of 23 degrees possible. And this pattern of improving temperatures shall continue as we move into Monday, 15th, and further into next week, with dry, sunny, and warm days expected. Temperatures are set to peak at around 25 degrees, with a gentle westerly breeze keeping things feeling settled and pleasant. So, there we have it. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and hopefully enjoy some summer days. Enjoy the weather!
With the Football World Cup providing Wolves fans a welcome distraction from the domestic game, we share some positive news of Wolves being revealed as top dogs of a recent study and Premier League ranking table.
Now then, it'll come as welcome news to Wolves fans that a recent study has revealed the Old Gold's fervent followers have topped a 2025-26 Premier League ranking table. Well, kind of. After enduring a truly dire and dismal season of football, it's probably of no surprise that Wolves supporters have been named as the most foul-mouthed fan base in the Premier League, according to a new study analysing more than 1.48 million Reddit comments from top-flight football fans over the past year. Research conducted by AceOdds.com examined comments posted across the Reddit communities of all 20 Premier League clubs during the 2025-26 season, assessing both the frequency of swear words and the overall sentiment of fan discussions. The findings place Wolves at the top of the league table for colourful language, with 9.16% of comments posted by supporters containing swear words, the highest proportion among all Premier League fan bases analysed. Of the 22,439 comments that were analysed, researchers found 2,056 that contained swear words. Tottenham Hotspur supporters ranked second with 9.03%, while West Ham United fans completed the top three on 8.88%. At the opposite end of the scale, Fulham were named the league's most polite supporters with just 4.31% of comments containing swear words. AFC Bournemouth, 4.41%, and Arsenal, 5.28%, were also ranked amongst the most restrained fan bases. The study also analysed the emotional tone of comments using sentiment analysis software. Tottenham Hotspur emerged as the most negative fan base, with 30.56% of comments categorised as negative. Newcastle United, 29.15%, and Chelsea, 29%, followed closely behind. Wolves were placed fifth for negative comments, 28%, but were also found to have made a higher percentage of positive comments, 44.54%, higher than top half sides like Manchester City, 43.15%, Liverpool, 43.91%, and Everton, 44.01%. Meanwhile, Bournemouth supporters were found to be the Premier League's most positive fans, with 58.4% of comments carrying a positive sentiment. Burnley and Brentford ranked second and third, respectively. An AceOdds.com spokesperson said, Based on an analysis of 1.48 million Reddit comments across 20 Premier League fandom subreddits over the past 12 months, Wolverhampton Wanderers emerged as the most foul-mouthed fandom, with 9.16% of their comments containing swear words. Meanwhile, the analysis covered 1,481,124 comments posted during the 12 months leading up to the conclusion of the 2025-26 Premier League season. Each comment was checked for profanity, analysed using the VAR sentiment analysis tool, which categorised posts as positive, negative, or neutral.
Now, here come the quiz
answers.
TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
I'm going to go over the answers to you now. We began with a number of musicians in a quartet. That's 4. Squaring that 4 gives us 16. Adding the number of cards in one suit of playing cards. That's 13 added on to the 16, we have 29. Next we add the number of days in August, that's 31 days, making us 60. And if we divide that 60 by the number of minutes in half an hour, that's 30, we get the answer 2. Did you get 2? I hope so. Well done if you did.
TNS soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. Thank you for listening. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!